and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door, and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones. Joining me today is my cousin Cameron. Listen, Cameron, I'm trying to muster up the energy to even say the intro. But last week's episode, I was hugely disappointed. I did admit to you that I'm losing faith rewatching it with you. I'm going to try and hopefully get my enthusiasm back. Unfortunately, this week, again, I'm a couple of notches down on this one.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too excited about this either.
Yeah, Season 6, Episode 16, Hearts and Flowers, aired February 2nd, 1982, directed by Dave Powers, written by Ellen Gylass and Don Nickel. Janet quits her job and Terry tries to get her job back. What'd you think of this, Cameron? I thought it stunk.
Oh man. This was brutal. This one was brutal as well.
So they get Janet at Janet's work at the flower shop. They hire,
an efficiency expert.
Efficiency expert to bring up the sales of flowers and plants.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you either want it or you don't. You either want a flower or you don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Sounds like make work. I don't really, you know.
I don't know how they can fire out more flowers if.
Efficiency expert. And the whole thing, too, was. Sorry, I guess you should continue breaking down the summary of or plot. Of,
well, that's or, it. That's where it stops.
That was it?
Right? That's it.
Yeah.
And then Janet gets pissed off at the efficiency expert.
So many things. So many things. So the efficiency expert, Bobby, Jack finds out, unless Bobby's lying, has a master's from Harvard. You know, not to paint with a broad brush here, and I don't know if Harvard had a different reputation in 1982, but an efficiency expert at a small town flower shop. I mean, LA is not a small town, but it was a small flower shop.
Yeah. That's it. That's what a Harvard degree will still get you.
I don't remember what the major was. There was a master's in something. I can't recall the subject.
Master's in flower shops. It's a master's in flower shops.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, they probably don't offer that program anymore.
No, it's pretty bad. I mean, Furley, again, steals the scenes. I will admit
that. Oh, God. This would have been as bad as last week's if Furley wasn't in it. He automatically takes every episode up a couple notches. And speaking of that small scene where he thought Bobby was a guy.
Yeah.
I was kind of excited because a part of me thought that's the direction the episode was going to go.
Right.
And it was just kind of this like hanging loose thread of a plot line. They never tied up or finished. It was just like a bit. But I was like, if they had gone that way with the episode and Jack had to pretend to date this guy, Bobby, and Bobby ended up being, you know, maybe Larry's friend or something. I'm like, this is going to be great. This hilarity will ensue. But they just kind of left it. And then it was a snoozer at the end.
I got to agree with you on that point. I would have like to have seen the episode go that way too, and I never thought of it until you just mentioned it now.
Yeah, because I thought for sure that's where it was going to go. And so, I mean, instead it was just a couple more broken window bits, which seemed very recycled. But Furley saved those scenes.
He did mention like the one thing I got from that scene was Furley admitted to having an open mind about, you know, Jack's homosexuality. Live and let live. He said live and let live.
Yeah, fruit salad and, oh, you know, you're a woman jokes aside, like he had it was very open-minded about Jack, and even to a point that he was scolding Janet and Terry in defense of him. So that was kind of surprising, but, you know, cool to see.
But in the end, he loses the argument when he goes, don't flaunt it. Don't flaunt it.
Oh, which, yeah. I mean, he shoots himself in the foot every time with those things. You know?
But other than that, and then there's a scene, this, like when Furley and Terry visit the flower shop in the end to try and get Janet's job back, the back and forth between Furley and Terry was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, that was a new dynamic we hadn't seen, or at least I haven't seen.
No.
I thought they worked really well together.
With the whole, I'm his daughter. And
I'm his daughter, the nail and the hammer.
And he goes, well, she's getting married finally to get back at her. I thought that was pretty good.
I did laugh a bit at the Bertha, the girl called Bertha, who Jack was pretending to not be interested in because she was called Bertha. And I thought it was funny that he immediately, like, didn't even consider this person because her name was Bertha.
Just a name will conjure up something.
Just a name. And Jack wasn't having any of it.
It's interesting because I guess back in those days, the name Bertha was, maybe there was a character on TV or a movie or some sort of well-known person or persona named Bertha who I think conjures up whatever Jack was thinking.
Oh, for sure. And speaking of names, Janet made a Star Wars reference in this, which was surprising and kind of threw me off for a second.
Yeah, 82, so we're talking, you know, we're post Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, I mean, I know we're oversaturated now, so it just feels all...
Oh my God, aren't we?
Oh, ever present. But I think, like, hearing that was like, oh yeah, so this was, like, part of the cultural fabric enough to be brought up in, I guess, at this point in time would be the number one show.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's cool. Although I will say I was a very poor Star Wars reference because she compared Bobby to R2-D2, right? Assuming that Bobby's a robot. But in fact, R2-D2 is a very expressive robot or android.
I think because there wasn't any other robots in pop culture. It's like the only robot everyone knew at the time.
What about that? No, there were other robots in pop culture.
2001 Space Odyssey, there is this. Well, I will say this. Bobby Willard is very notable as a person. Lori Lee Schaefer. That's her real name. Lori Lee Schaefer, yeah.
Yeah,
who played Bobby Willard, Janet's efficiency expert. Was Miss America in 1972.
Whoa.
Yeah. And this appearance on Three's Company was her last acting gig. And take a guess at how old she was on the show. What did she look? How old do you think she was?
I would say mid-40s.
32.
What?
Yeah. Crazy. But here's the biggest thing. She was married to John Lurie of the Lounge Lizards and Jim Jarmusch. He's in Jim Jarmusch films and all that. She was married to John Lurie. And that, to me, is fascinating. I had no idea. So even though she comes off as this, you know, in this bad episode of Three's Company, as, you know, this... person, not only do you not like, but because you don't like the episode itself, you just don't even want to see her on screen. She's actually terrifically interesting off Three's Company.
Off Three's Company.
Yeah. Lori Lee Schaefer. Pretty cool. Man,
that is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then Mr. Franklin, the owner of the flower shops or the regional manager or whatever, was played by Rod Colbin. This was his second of two appearances in Three's Company. He was Mr. Hadley in season 5, episode 8, when Jack says the immortal words, "Mr. Hadley has been behaving badly." He returns as Mr. Franklin. Cool.
I remember this guy, I think.
Yeah, he was cheating on his wife with his secretary.
Right.
And I believe Chrissy was it Chrissy? I think it was Chrissy. She got fired. Anyways, that's an old episode. He's back. Lori Lee Schaefer's here. It's no matter what, how much star power this episode has, it just does not rescue this terrible story.
No, it was brutal. The ending also was just terrible. And I know it's
terrible.
Yeah. I mean, you always tell me the further we get on in the series, the better it will get. And I feel like we're very much bell curving right now. You know, we hit a couple really good spots earlier and now we're coming back down.
No, you got to hang tight with me till the end of the series. I'm pretty sure this gets better.
Or we get to the end and you've come to a very, you know, very honest realization with the quality of the show.
Well, I guess listeners to this episode, to this podcast, are just going to have to keep listening to find out.
Yeah.
Turn and become a Three's Company fan, or will I turn and end up, you know, ditching my DVDs?
I mean, you can still hold on to them.
True. I will. I'm not crazy.